What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on BAM User, this gorgeous creature sitting behind me, guzzling her ice water, is the lovely Lady Claire. But before we get to her, I want to finish up with Carolyn. And Carolyn, you are right. All of these countries all over the world are at a flashpoint. And I've been saying for quite some time that this push to create a single global government and a single private central bank to enslave all of humanity has created a political climate in which we could see a global revolution where the people of all of these countries are going to stand up and kick out their private central bankers and other assorted oligarchs. And so, yes, the entire world right now feels like a tinderbox awaiting that spark.
Going on in not only in Italy, but it's a silent one. People just hoard cash. That's one thing. And
yes.
Then there's the Commonwealth splitting off, but that's a big part of NATO as well, and it's a big part of the economy. With the Brexit, the Commonwealth could be is an old enemy of ours.
Well, that would be interesting to have another war in which France is trying to invade Great Britain. Didn't we already go through that a few hundred years ago?
It could happen. It could actually happen, I think, because the bloc Europe is against an independent Commonwealth.
All of these globalists are against.
Bankers are centered now. And next, the NATO situation in Ukraine. There's trouble in the Netherlands with the referendum. We voted against Ukraine, but they still go on. They just accept the terms of the treaty. It's horrible.
It is horrible. Listen, Carolyn, I'm going to have to let you go because we have one more caller we're going to take. Then we're going to close the phone lines for the rest of the day so that Lady Claire gets her turn at the microphone. So we're going to talk with Ed in Michigan. Aloha, Ed. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. And Claire. Claire,
hello.
If you ever decide to kick Mike to the curb, I'm available.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're
going
to let you go here.
Yes.
And
he's an absolute keeper. That would never happen. We just celebrated in May the 24th anniversary of the day we met.
80 miles from Chicago.
Hello?
But, I'm here, Mike. Now, I didn't get interested in much of this stuff until I saw Building 7 come straight down about a year and a half ago. And then all of a sudden it was just like everything, and that's pretty much all I got to say.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much for that phone call. We're going to let you go here. Everybody has that moment where they finally see something that breaks through all the illusions, and it's like taking the red pill, to use the Matrix metaphor. And these days I get lots and lots of email from people I knew a long time ago, and they all say basically the same thing. Man, we thought you were just completely, totally crazy back then, but obviously now you have been vindicated in terms of your concerns here, to which I reply, the two are not mutually exclusive. I can be right about this and still be nuts. You know, great genius is to great madness near allied, and thin lines their bounds divide. And I don't think they could lock me up in a mental hospital, but if I was already in, I would have a real hard time getting on out. Okay, so with that, let's turn to the lovely Lady Claire. Hello, Lady Claire.
Hello, my dear.
And what is your first thing to talk about?
Well, there are lots of things competing for our agenda. You know, to be on our agenda today, but one thing that no one is really taking a close look at. As of Monday, which is the 18th of this month, the BRICS New Development Bank is to issue a yuan-denominated bond in its maiden fundraiser. And it's going to be about 3 billion yuan, or in U.S., $447.8 million worth of bonds in China's interbank market on Monday. Now, Mike, this is very significant because it's the first time the multilateral bank set up by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South America has issued bonds denominated in a currency of a member country. And that is really significant.
Well, it is very significant. It's not the first time bonds have been issued in the yuan. I think Britain actually did one about a year ago.
Yeah.
But it's a further indication. The world wants to break free of hegemonic domination of the U.S. dollar because the U.S. dollar is not seen as trustworthy in the long run. It's backed by future slave labor of the American people.
That's right.
And they have overprinted those treasury bonds just like they've overprinted the currency. And there are not enough living Americans whose taxes can redeem all those treasury bonds, even if all the illegal immigrants and refugees and unemployed Americans suddenly magically had jobs to go to tomorrow.
Yeah. The bond is very interesting in how they've structured it. It's a five-year green bond, which raises funds for projects that benefit the environment in such ways as improving energy efficiency and preventing pollution. Good idea.
I think so, too.
And it's expected to be valued between 2.8 and 3.6% per year. I have a feeling that when those bonds go on sale, A, it's going to make Wall Street very nervous. It's going to be interesting to see what the Asian markets do overnight on Sunday. And B, one has to wonder if this isn't part of the U.S. push for a war against China economically.
Well, we know that the U.S. is trying to find some way to damage the ruble and the yuan and remove them as alternatives to the U.S. dollar for global trade and banking. And that's how the U.S. Basically maintains control. They're not creating a stronger currency.
No.
They're simply rubbing out the competition.
Yeah.
They're not trying to manufacture better, superior products. They just tariff and trade agreement the competition so they can't even get here. You would be astounded at some of the wonderful quality products manufactured in other countries, which are simply blocked from being imported into the United States of America by some of these so-called free trade deals.
Oh, these include cards that are far better fuel efficient than anything you can find here, but they're blocked, you know? I'd also like to go to an article by Mac Slavo at the website when the It's the Fan Plan.
Well, before you do that, we do need to do our shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network at this time. And we're being joined by the lovely Lady Claire, covering a bunch of stories. And, of course, we're keeping an eye on events in Turkey and events in France. It is a very, very busy Friday.
Yes.
So you wanted to talk about this.
There was an article in the website, When the Hits the Fan, by Max Slavo. And apparently the U.S. warships are now surrounding these disputed Chinese waters, where that was there was the verdict by The Hague that China really didn't have a claim. And it makes a very interesting point. Territorial disputes are a delicate thing and potentially deadly as well.
Well, see, here's the thing. Yeah. The only legal justification for the United States to blockade those islands is for the U.S. to exert a territorial claim over those same islands. Now, The Hague didn't say that. The Hague didn't say these islands belong to anybody. In fact, if anything, The Hague said they belong to the Philippines.
Yes.
But this is all about trying to get a war going, because our government is desperately broke. They're desperately in debt. And the last two times they were in this mess, they started a world war or joined a world war to distract from it, to have something to blame for it. And it worked in 1907, and it worked in 1929, and that's why there's this big rush.
Yeah, and now there is not only an escalation, but an acknowledgement on both sides of the Pacific that things are actually heading toward a shooting war, and it's being discussed in very stark terms. Now, Mike, call me silly, but one does not create an atmosphere conducive to negotiations by surrounding a contested sea region with military hardware.
Easy on those plosives.
Yes. Even to the point of sending a guided missile destroyer there, which Obama did several months ago to see if China would respond.
Now, they want a war with probably more with China than Russia at this particular point with developments in Turkey.
Yeah.
But the trick is always to make it look like the other guy started it or provoked it somehow. And I need to break into your story here. We're getting an update here. Apparently, Erdogan is in the air. He has fled Turkey. He requested asylum in Germany, and they denied him permission to land.
Oops.
This may be the only refugee Germany has refused.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yeah, that's very strange.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. And also, China is kind of, how can I say this gently, very much very negative toward Japan at a conference in Mongolia, and telling Japan to stop interfering in the South China Sea as well. And it has reacted very angrily for calls by Western countries in Japan that the decision The Hague came to be adhered to. And, but I mean, from the end of World War II, China has been ceded those territories. Am I not correct, Mike?
Well, you're talking about the Cairo.
The Cairo, yes.
Yeah, the Cairo Convention. Yeah. That's a treaty that was signed by all these countries, including the United States, saying, yes, these islands belong to China. But again, as the United States has more recently demonstrated with Iran, any treaties signed by the U.S. government aren't worth the paper they're printed on.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Now, we had a development yesterday in Moscow, which may well be related to the Turkey coup. Unable to stop Syria's war, U.S. offers Russia a new partnership. And apparently there was a meeting between Putin and Kerry yesterday, hoping that the attraction of a unified campaign against the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda would end in a sort of partnership between the U.S. and Russia.
Well, I'd be very careful about that one, because the U.S. agenda, I mean, based on State Department documents that have been leaked out, the U.S. agenda is still getting rid of Assad.
Regime change.
And by the way, I'm seeing another report here that apparently Erdogan's recent negotiations with Putin didn't actually go very well, and that in point of fact, he actually damaged his ties with Russia.
Oh, dear.
But with some of his arrogance, his own big mouth. I mean, we've seen that in recent headlines where he has an overinflated sense of himself as Sultan of the Middle East.
Yep. And, you know, it would be nice to see this right now. I don't know that I'd bet on it. The collaboration between the U.S. and Russia.
I'm sure
Syria.
Putin understands it's, you know, this is the U.S. trying to take the moral and ethical high ground, trying to reinforce the idea that they're after ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But we all know the U.S. government, the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton's State Department, were arming and supplying all of these rebel groups, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda, as an instrument to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. They've been doing this for 5 years, and they're thrashing around hopelessly on this situation.
And, you know, it's like that old classical definition of insanity. You keep doing something exactly the same way, yet expecting a different outcome. And by arming these alleged moderate jihadists, they're not getting anywhere, and they most probably won't. I'd like to also take a look at Iran right now. This is an article by Stephen Lenman from Global Research, and Stephen is one of my peace and justice heroes in this world. Apparently, U.S. hostility toward Iran has not abated at all, and billions of dollars of Iranian assets remain frozen. And Tehran is wrongfully blamed for regional terrorism and elsewhere. And Congress earlier passed legislation authorizing Iranian assets to be used to compensate victims of Israeli Mossad terrorism, wrongly blamed on the Islamic Republic. And in April of this year, our own Supreme Court shamelessly ruled that Tehran must pay families of victims and survivors nearly $2 billion in compensation, including victims of other attacks wrongfully linked to Iran.
See, that's the thing that about this decision, okay? The Supreme Court said Iran could be made to pay for terror attacks even in the absence of any proof that Iran had anything to do with it at all.
Right.
That's like, you know, me getting mugged on my way home from the supermarket, and then the court telling me that the people in the neighboring condo have to pay for my medical bills. It doesn't make any sense at all,
well,
whatsoever.
The only way that it makes sense is the degree to which U.S. foreign policy is still dictated by the Israeli government.
Yes. And Newt Gingrich showed that one more time today here.
Yeah.
I want to insert something here, Chris. Somebody just sent me a screen capture from Google News.
Okay.
Where they're covering Turkish military has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same page are two older stories. One from The Economist, Turkey is suddenly making friends, not enemies. And then another story from back on the 13th, where Turkey hints at normalization of ties with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was that rapprochement with Israel, in which Turkey apologized for the Mavi Marmara. Turkey had apologized to Putin about the shoot down of the Russian plane here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he had started to basically go his own way. And that's the reason for this coup d'etat, which means it could very well be an American intervention. But they had to have Turkey's military heavily, heavily penetrated in order to pull this off.
Mm-hmm. And primed. And, yeah, that's really kind of amazing news. How long has Turkey been a representative democratic country? For quite some time. I mean, from the time of Atatürk, right?
Well, in theory, yes.
Yeah.
But as we have just discovered here in the United States of America this last primary season, we have the illusion of a democratic representative government, but we don't have the reality. And the same is probably true also in Turkey,
right?
Where they go through this whole thing about elections, but in the end, it's the same entrenched power that always seems to be in control.
Mm-hmm. I would like to go over to a statement made by Tony Blair's former propagandist. And he is quoted as saying, referendums are dangerous in a parliamentary democracy. I read that and, you know, I just scratched my head. Campbell is clearly enraged that the British people have had the audacity to vote against the wishes of the establishment. And his remarks are the epitome of elitist thinking, which holds that ordinary people are too stupid to make important decisions on their own.
Well, we saw a lot of articles about that in the British press about, you know, you should just trust your parliament, you know, to do. And we saw these articles over here in the U.S. about how we suffer from too much democracy. We've got to really pull back on that. You know, because the country would run much more smoothly if you just let us make all the important decisions and you just do what you're told and give us your money and your children for the wars and everything will just be hunky-dory.
Well, that hunky-dory has not been playing out too well with recent years.
No, it doesn't work very well for the people.
Yeah.
And again, when you have a ruling class that is allowed to rule without checks and balances, they're always going to bias the system in their own favor. Mm-hmm. And you only need to look at the incredible wealth of our political leadership, like the Clintons, to understand that.
And Pelosi and her husband and all the deals that she has generated for him. There was another very excellently written article, very thoughtful article, and you get these a lot in a website called globalresearch.ca, which is from Canada. Now, there are areas where Mike and I kind of agree to disagree with the people who write and post in this particular outlet, but it talks about the U.S.-led militarization of South Asia, China, Russia, and North Korea. And Iran. And it goes on to say that these are all targets in a Pentagon World War III scenario. Now, Mike, looking at what's going on and what has been going on and the terrible way in which things have been playing out, it's painfully apparent to me that the folks in Foggy Bottom, Reed, D.C., have collectively lost their reality license to believe that they can simultaneously take on all of these countries. China will come to the aid of North Korea, Russia will come to the aid of Iran if attacked, and China will come to the aid of Russia if attacked, and the converse is true. And what is completely confounding to me is how all the players at the Pentagon, State Department, Congress, and White House believe that there can be a successful outcome to these wars when the U.S. military doesn't have the weaponry, the troop strength, the manufacturing, or the money to ensure a successful outcome. This is utter madness writ large.
Okay, we have to take a break for commercials. When we come on back, we've got some more information about what's going on in Turkey and Erdogan. These are interesting times. We'll be right back.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Moisture Control Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave units require no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no-maintenance Wave unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit mydryhome.com, mydryhome.com.
Ride the wave home solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're following the situation over there in Turkey. The military says they've seized power. Erdogan has left the country.
Elvis has left the building.
Was turned away by Germany, amazingly enough. Latest word I'm getting is that the Erdogan plane was allowed to refuel in Tehran, and now he's on his way to Qatar. So he's on his way down there. Now, there's a new take on this coup, basically saying that if you understand the Turkish military, you understand one of the driving forces here. And that's because for decades and decades, the Turkish military ensured no Islamic fundamentalists could impose their will on Turkey, which had been a secular state. Whenever anyone tried, they were deposed. Now, remember, Erdogan imposed an Islamic fundamentalist rule over Turkey, suspended free speech and journalism, and basically started to crush democracy. And then, of course, he had that campaign to support ISIS in Syria, destabilizing the entire region. And that may be a driving force behind events in Turkey right now. So we're going to keep, while Claire's talking, I'm going to be searching all the news sources and try and stay on top of this thing. Claire?
Unfortunately, it appears that Yemen is sliding closer toward famine as frozen bank funds curb food imports. And many of the areas inside Yemen are now very close to that condition because importers are unable to buy new food stocks from abroad, as over 200 million is stuck in banks due to the civil war disruption. Western banks have already cut credit lines for traders shipping food to Yemen, fearing that they would not be repaid due to the security chaos. And now, because the financial system is so fragile, they are increasingly unwilling to offer letters of credit, which guarantee sellers will be paid on time. And this is really nasty. There are as much as 260 million held in foreign currencies in Yemenite banks that cannot be transferred because the relationship with Western banks have completely broken down. Mike, I have to wonder if these frozen funds are a part of the U.S.-Saudi plan to starve the people of Yemen into submission.
That's exactly what it is.
And acceptance
exactly
of the former U.S.-Yemenite thug al-Hadi. Unfortunately, starvation and siege are not new tactics in human history, and I think history is repeating itself.
That's what's wrong with history.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Russia Today is reporting a new statement from the Turkish military. Mm-hmm. Power was seized due to autocratic rule and terrorism. And
ooh.
Apparently there's now reports of the army presence and gunfire in Ankara.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
this is definitely going. This feels too big and too organized to be some kind of an outside Maidan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it really does.
This is starting to feel very organic.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. I'd like to go over to Iraq, where the prime minister is...
I don't think that's a good idea right now.
Well, no, metaphorically.
Oh.
Iraq warns public against joining illegal protest. The Iraqi security forces issued a statement today on the eve of planned protests in the city of Baghdad, warning that the protest is unauthorized and subsequently illegal, threatening to deal with anyone armed as a terrorist threat. And that follows statements earlier this week by Prime Minister Abadi, insisting that the war on terror is an historic responsibility and that protesters should leave them alone to focus on the war. His office has made similar statements in advance of other recent protests. Now, Baghdad has been facing major Friday protests off and on for months, with demonstrators desperately seeking major reforms, including the replacement of current cabinet with technocrats as a way to try to get a handle on the nation's corruption woes.
Well, you need to remember, the uh-huh. current government of Iraq
yep.
was the one imposed on them by the United States.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what we're looking at here is a near-failed state situation in Iraq, courtesy of the U.S. invasion and occupation. Now, what's really interesting is the Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is organizing the Iraqi people against the powerlessness and corruption of the al-Abadi regime, and we may just see another government topple, and which will then feature al-Sadr or one of his people as its presidents. And this, coupled with the collapse in Turkey, has got to be one of the administration's most nightmare scenarios. But if it happens...
Yeah, can you imagine the U.S. government trying to sell us on yet another invasion of Iraq?
Oh, please,
we
no.
just got done with that. What's wrong
no,
with you people?
No, no,
we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Mm-hmm.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show now. I'm looking at a story from the Wall Street Journal from last May, and it makes it very clear that the Turkish military and Erdogan have been on a collision course for a very long time. So this coup is not something that was just cooked up in the last week or so in a meeting with Kerry and Putin. And basically, it's talking about how the military has been marginalized methodically by Erdogan over 13 years. And Erdogan's attempts to consolidate power were of concern to a lot of people inside the country. Because back there in the spring, he forced out his handpicked prime minister. And there was a big power struggle. And the Turkish military were opposed to sending troops into Syria. They were opposed to this campaign against the Kurds. And concerned that Erdogan's actions, his draconian moves, were damaging Turkey's geopolitical relations with other countries deemed to be their friends. So based on this article I'm seeing here in the Wall Street Journal from May 15th, 2016, it looks like this has been building for a very, very, very long time. Okay, Claire?
Yes, yes. I'd like to take a look at a lawsuit that the White House is trying desperately to dodge by arguing that funding makes war legal. And apparently there was a lawsuit filed earlier this year charging President Barack Obama with waging an illegal war against the Islamic State, or ISIS, was met last Tuesday with a motion from the Obama administration asking the court to dismiss it. In its motion to dismiss, the administration argues that congressional funding for the war amounts to congressional approval for it. And the lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court by Captain Nathan Michael Smith, an intelligence official stationed in Kuwait in May. And he had been assigned to work for Operation Inherent Resolve, which is the administration's name for the nebulous conflict against the terrorist group ISIS. Well, Congress collectively has behaved on this issue as though it was completely void of male attributes regarding the authorization of the use of force. And Mike, am I correct that only Congress can declare war?
That's right. Yeah. The only legal way to have a war is for Congress to literally declare war, a declaration of war. They can't just say authorization or funding or the rest of it. It's under the Constitution, there must be a formal declaration of war. Mm-hmm. Now, under the War Powers Act,
right,
the president is allowed on his own authority to deploy the military to a crisis zone for, I think,
60
days.
60 days, yes.
60 days,
yeah.
After which he has to go before Congress and present his case. If Congress does not approve, the president has to recall the troops. Now, the War Powers Act was put together at a time when it was going to take certain fixed amounts of time for Congress to get together to be able to debate the merits of the war. In this day of instant global communication, I'm not sure it even has that merit. And I think the War Powers Act could be cut to as short as 2 weeks. Go in, deal with the crisis. You've got 2 weeks to talk to Congress. But you cannot have a prolonged war under any name without an official declaration of war from Congress. But the last official declaration of war by the U.S. Congress was, I think, World War II.
I think you're absolutely right.
And every other military intervention since then has been illegal. And they sell it with all these euphemisms. It's a police action. It's a humanitarian intervention.
Right.
It's this and it's that.
Yeah.
You know, to the people on the ground who are catching the bullets and seeing their homes blown up, it sure looks like a war to them.
Yeah. And we have to really be clear here. ISIS has been trained, funded, and allowed to fester, courtesy of U.S. foreign policy, and used to terrify the American people of what will happen if the U.S. government is not in control of the assets of foreign countries it wants to control, like Iraq's oil, Afghanistan's mineral resources, pipelines, and opium. And if what you see in terms of U.S. foreign policy appears to be a foreign policy engineered to create perpetual war, Mike, that's it.
Well, remember that Project for the New American Century was a policy group that advocated literally 100 years of war by the United States against the rest of the world. Their attitude was, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States is the only remaining superpower. Let's go out and act like one and make the rest of the world our slaves.
Yeah.
And they've gotten bogged down. The plan to shackle the Middle East oil to the U.S. dollar that was leaked by General Wesley Clark, that plan was supposed to end in 2008 with the conquest of Iran. And here we are, 2016. The U.S. is bogged down hopelessly in Afghanistan. They're bogged down hopelessly in Iraq. They're bogged down in Yemen. They're bogged down in Libya. They still can't get any traction inside Syria, let alone getting into Iran. And so the agenda, the policy's in serious, serious trouble.
Yeah.
And now it looks like some of the U.S. government's enablers in the region are now being driven from power.
That could happen with, that has happened with Erdogan. It may happen with Iraq as well.
Could very easily happen with Iraq.
Yeah. I'd like to take a look at a couple of things a little bit closer to home. Six of seven remaining Obamacare co-ops are on the brink of failure. They They're still in operation, but they're currently on corrective action plans, according to an official from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Illinois Department of Insurance announced this week that it was requesting an order of rehabilitation for the state's Land of Lincoln Health Co-op because of its unsustainable financial position. The co-op was originally awarded $160.2 million by CMS, and this closing announcement has brought the number of failed co-ops for health from 15 to 16. Kevin Cunahan, who is a top official for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, told lawmakers on Wednesday that of the seven co-ops that are still in operation, six have had to been placed on corrective action plans. Co-ops are flagged for these plans when agencies have identified issues within the co-op's finances, operations, management, or legal processes. And Mike, it looks to me like this program is going to be yet another of Obama's epic fail legacies. I mean, the program was never sustainable in the first place.
No, it never was.
Yeah.
It was poorly designed, poorly implemented. But again, when you live under a government that cannot ever admit failure or mistake, they keep pushing and pushing something that doesn't work until it turns into a complete disaster.
Yeah. And when these remaining co-ops go under, I mean, the people who've been insured through them are going to be in a world of hurt, especially if they've got pre-existing conditions. You know, that is really going to cause these people to suffer.
Well, what's going to cause them to suffer is the fact that these sky-high insurance premiums, nobody can afford them.
Yeah.
Coupled with the sky-high deductibles, there have actually been studies showing that you're actually going to spend less money just paying cash for your own medical treatment and not having the health insurance policy anyway. And so a lot of people can't afford the insurance. They're being penalized by the IRS for not buying what they're being told to buy, even though what they're being told to buy is absolute complete junk, just like vaccines and GMO.
Yeah.
But when you live under fascism, that's the sort of thing that happens. Companies produce terrible products. They then lobby the government to make them mandatory, and you're stuck having to deal with the aftermath.
Yeah, absolutely. The other issue, and I think here the Huffington Post deserves a little bit of a tip of the hat. I disagree with them many times, but they did a project on the reality that in this last year, 811 people have died in American jails in the year Sandra Bland
died. And we're not talking about old age.
No, we're not. No. And what they did a research project, causes of death, dates of arrest and death, and other data from more than 800 people who died in jails and police lockups. And apparently this information is very difficult to come by because of how it's reported or if it's not reported. For example, Texas will collect information from counties but not from municipalities. Others, like Louisiana, only track deaths of inmates in state custody, and that's a tiny fraction of the jail population. These numbers are horrific, Mike. How can it possibly be that 811 people have died in American jails that we know about in the last year? And to me, it's a slamming indictment of everything that's wrong with the American penal system.
Well, I guess if the police can't murder you out there in the streets, they'll just murder you once you're inside custody. Because we've seen these videos that come on out where the police will just take people and slam them into the cement. And they're being taught to do this. They're being sent to classes that teach them how to be a brutal force for repression.
Yeah.
And so it is by design.
And one of the things I would encourage all of our audience to see, if they have not, and even if you're not a Michael Moore fan, please see the documentary, Who Do We Invade Next? Because
it has a
number of examinations of European prison systems and how they're run, and how low the recidivism is, or how fewer times people come and go back and reoffend and go back to prison. Because the European model is totally rehabilitation. But in the American system, it's almost engineered to create recidivism, which is a really lousy way to go.
Well, it's a great way to go if, in point of fact, you are running a prison industrial complex.
Yes, that does the labor.
Which is exactly what the United States is doing. When Janet Reno was Attorney General, she had a plaque in her office that all the furniture in her office was made by prison convicts.
And it read, proudly made by convict labor.
That was basically it.
Yep.
And if you really think about it, you know, prison industries have become big business here in the United States of America, mm-hmm. to the point where there's actually an economic incentive for the police to find and arrest people. Because if the jails, if those prison factories are not kept full enough by the police, then there are financial penalties
right.
for the cities that contract with them.
Right.
So the they're saying, oh, we're running out of people. Oh, we'll go on out and arrest somebody for littering and claim he resisted arrest, and we'll send them on over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to arrest people who know how to assemble washing machine motors or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, this is a modern recreation of those slave labor factories the Nazis had. It's here in the United States of America.
And right now.
Right now.
And as we're talking about police, apparently police are stepping up arrests for threatening social media posts in the wake of the Dallas shooting. Police departments are now arresting people for threatening social media posts.
The problem is threat is a very gray term.
Yeah.
And we have heard some of these police come on out and say merely siding with Black Lives Matters.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the police feel threatened. And so we've reached a stage where freedom of speech is now subject to arrest.
Yeah.
Just like they had in Erdogan's Turkey not too long ago.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
My goodness.
And I would like to hope that people with a modicum of sense will not do this, because Facebook is being constantly surveilled by the police in order to bring charges against people who allegedly threaten in this manner. And the problem is these threats are not going to change the behavior on the part of police departments. That is going to take hard work. It's going to take pushing back against the aggression and oppression. That will take a lot of community, faith leaders, community leaders, police leaders working together to make a difference and try to restore some trust in this institution. But right now they have no trust.
Well, if they're going out and arresting Facebook posters for things that make them feel threatened, then very clearly there is no intention to try and reverse the trend toward police brutality.
No.
They're trying to resell the police as helpless victims who have a right to shoot people on site because of the extreme risk imposed on them. It's a situation that is guaranteed to escalate out of control on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to have some demonstrations over this weekend. I haven't seen a word. Now, what time is it on the East Coast?
It is now basically, it's just about 6 in the evening. So some of those Black Lives Matter protests were supposed to be starting up, and I'm not hearing word about any of them.
I am not hearing a word about any of them either.
Yeah, well, it's not like the news doesn't have other things.
Right, right, right.
So let me just do a search here.
Okay.
And there's not. Doesn't seem to be anything out there.
None?
Right now.
Zero
not,
zip?
Not yet. Of
wow.
course, I'm sure the corporate media is focusing on, you know, the 28 pages blame Saudi Arabia for 9/11, mm-hmm. and they're all covering what's going on out there in Turkey.
Yeah. And, of course, this thing about Saudi Arabia comes out on a Friday news dump.
Well, the reason is everybody wants to say these 28 pages prove Saudi Arabia's guilt. But if you actually look at what they're reporting, they're basically saying possible, maybe, could have, might be.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's trying to point you away from Israel and the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Who the evidence overwhelmingly points to them as the perpetrators of this war-starting hoax.
Yeah. So hopefully, I'm hoping and praying that things remain relatively quiet in this country and that there are no flashpoints, but it's still a little bit too early to say.
All right. Well, listen, I'm looking out here. I'm not seeing anything happen.
Wow.
And again, the parallel I would like to draw is when George Zimmerman went on trial for the murder of Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
The whole week before the verdict came out, the corporate media was telling us there were going to be nationwide riots, there was going to be violence, there was going to be all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it didn't happen.
Yep.
Because Black Americans and white Americans are both smart enough to understand the government's divide and conquer tactics.
Right.
People of my age remember how it was all done back in the 1960s with the Black Panther coloring book and all the rest of it. And after the Zimmerman thing, there were a couple of staged photos to make it look like there was some kind of civil unrest. One of the ones that just was laughingly funny is they had a black guy with a trash can, obviously just bought brand new from the hardware store, had never seen garbage in it, getting, you know, hurling it through a store window. And behind him were the city trash bins that were bolted to the cement. So this guy had to bring this thing with him. It was an obvious staged shot.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier today, we started seeing this feed coming on out about how, well, maybe this was all just a hoax.
Yeah. And,
I think it fizzled. I think they wanted to try and get, you know, race riots going again, and once again they fell flat on their face.
Because
and that's good.
American people were too bright to fall for it.
That's exactly
all Americans.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it is time for all Americans of all colors, orientations, genders, whatever. We are one American people.
Amen.
And we need to understand the common problem that faces us all. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. And remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners, or maybe some joint aid, or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to grab a real quick phone call, and that's Analog Anarchist up in Maine. Aloha, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Check out Hispan TV on the satellite, also now being picked up by Press TV Iran. Civilians fired on at the bridge in Turkey, loud explosions in the capital. That's all. Go back to what you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's an ugly, ugly situation. Yeah. Okay. During the commercial break, I was taking a look here, and no sign of mass coordinated Black Lives Matter protests taking place right now. They've got one scheduled for Palm Springs on Monday. York police in York, there's one over in Britain on Sunday. These are just small little individual protests, so this day of rage just seems to have fizzled rather badly. Okay, what do you have anything else?
Yes, a Canadian teacher is under police investigation for saying that Palestinians have the right to resist occupation. Now this, she's a Toronto area school board in Toronto City. Police are investigating an elementary school teacher after a pro-Israel lobby complained about comments she made during a rally in solidarity with Palestinians. The gal is Nadia Shufani, and she addressed a downtown Toronto rally on 2 July, marking the Al-Quds Day, an annual event held around the world to support Palestinian rights and protest Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories. Now, by any accounts, this was a completely peaceful demonstration, no violence whatsoever. And she made the statement, silence in situations of oppression and injustices is a crime against humanity. And she condemned the Israeli occupation and Israel's policies of home demolitions, land confiscations, and arrests of Palestinians. She also quoted Palestinian writer Ghassan Kanafani, an important figure of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, who was assassinated by Mossad in 1972. And Mike, it's become apparent to me that when it comes to support of Palestinians, Canadians have absolutely lost any freedom of speech they ever had.
Just like in France, just like here in the United States of America. I mean, the reality is all oppressed occupied people have a natural right to resist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We even have that in our Declaration of Independence, when that long train of abuses and usurpations evincing a design to bring the people under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. For the government of Canada to come on out and make it a criminal offense to say an oppressed, targeted people have a right to resist their oppressors, I mean, that tells you how far gone into Israel's pocket the current government of Canada has gone.
Yeah, well, the gentleman who pushed the complaint, Mr. Moistin, it's interesting. People like him, I think, believe that the final solution to the Palestinian problem would be for every Palestinian to kill every one of their children and then kill themselves.
Well, you know, Newt Gingrich was saying today, there's plenty of other places for these people to go. Why do they want to cling to the place they've lived for the last 1,000 years? They're just being silly. All right, there's the music. Time for Claire and I to get on out of here. I'm about to take my lady love to lunch, and we'll be back Monday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So have a good weekend. Stay in touch with what's going on here, and aloha, America.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system, The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.